This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyina wa maulana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanak. لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
كيف حالكم؟
الحمد لله كيف أنتم؟
طيب الحمد لله Just take a moment to enjoy the sound. كيف حالكم؟
الحمد لله. It's really nice to listen to one Sheikh Ismail London and now you put both of his voices on top of one another, that's like doubly more enjoyable, subhanAllah.
Doubly.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Maybe that's where they got the concept of double from. How's Hafiz Ahmed doing?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
Were you brothers busy? I'm still at Mowbray Masjid every night. Where are you brothers busy?
Walna salim.
Bismillah. So I yeah, a lot of sort of arrangements. Alhamdulillah. I've been leading Tarawih Salah and Aisha at the small Jamaat Khana in Samora Mashal, one of the townships that's just on the way to Mitchell's Plain. Alhamdulillah. The place where, as far as I know, there's no other masajid that are over there. The one brother that is staying there, Ibrahim, very involved in da'wah and teaching small kids and so on, alhamdulillah. So some brothers just came together to assist with some infrastructure and, you know, some sort of assistance. And this program and opportunity came up to recite Quran over here. My one personal request to the brothers involved was, is the sound, is the speakers for us to be able to use, just so that we can recite the Quran over the loudspeaker and people can hear the Quran. And subhanAllah, last night we actually received 3-4 visitors that just came to sit and listen to the Quran being recited. The biggest, the most interesting thing that this Ibrahim guy would tell us about is that at night when we're there doing the Tarawih Salah, it would just be us. But in the morning when he goes out and then, you know, he gets bombarded with questions and you know, what is happening there? We can hear you guys singing there at night time and so on. What is it about? And whatever the case may be, it sounds so nice. We'd love to come and join or come to listen. So, alhamdulillah for this opportunity that Allah is granting us to read Quran in areas where people haven't heard the Quran before. So the dua is may it be a benefit for us and for them.
Ameen.
Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen.
Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. My side, I'm not committed anywhere. Anyway, alhamdulillah. But it's like focusing on our projects on the side, the madrasa, the Badr campaign that we're running, alhamdulillah. It's the anniversary of the Badr campaign. It's been a year of amazing growth, alhamdulillah. So we're putting quite a bit into that this year as well. And then also just a couple of youth projects now through Ramadan, alhamdulillah. We're doing a tram thing on a Friday night and a Saturday night in the waterfront, working with Fusion in the Jamaica Foundation. So quite a thing they got there at, what's this thing called now? Anyway, I'll get it now. Then I'll tell.
The waterfront Jamaat Khana, are
they? Nah, it's not there. It is... I'll tell you now. Maker's Landing. By the, what do they say? Maker's Landing by the cruise terminal. So the idea is that, you know, for Muslims and our youth that's maybe booking out on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sea Point, Green Point, anywhere around the area, come around. We have like a short program, short nasiha, eight rakats. You know, still, you're booking out, but, you know, still Ramadan, you maybe want to just catch that extra ibadah.
Can you just keep go back eyes. Again? You are what?
You're booking out.
Spell that, Khil.
My last year was Feluda, this year's bookering. You're bookering out, Muslim. Anyway, I don't know what you have with my language. But anyway, so yeah, that's the idea. That's the program, inshallah. That's a Friday night and a Saturday night, inshallah. Now, what are you doing? Tell me, what are you doing?
So long as you're not booking out.
Yeah,
in fact, Fusion Jamaica, we're having a public series of talks on Saturday as well. That's at, what's it called?
The venue.
That place in Lansdowne.
The venue.
The venue. Now, myself and Sheikh Ismail and Qari Abdullah Forbes talking about Qari, Sheikh Salim. Qari, ahead min fadlikum.
Maaf quickly, while he's doing that, Mulna Irshad, you still got that static situation, eh? It's not on my voice or on Mulna Salim, it's just on yours.
When you were playing
the salawat also, from when you went live.
Are you hearing it in your earphones?
I'm hearing it, yeah. Mulna Salim, can you also hear it?
Yeah, I can. So tick, okay. Tick, tick, tick when he speaks.
Yeah, the moment you went live, then it started.
I see. Okay, cool.
Okay, what are we qira-ring?
Qira-ring. After we bukari, from Surah Baqarah, the start, and then Ayatul Kursi, and Lillahi ma fi
s-sama. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Thalika al-kitabu la rayba fih. Hudan lil-muttaqin. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. ما شاء الله.
Did somebody Salim? Yes. Salim, did you share the link on your status?
You see the stream, yeah?
Tama, if I share the wrong link.
Inna lillahi.
Don't let him in, man.
I'll send you.
I must always used to send the link. Tama, whoever joined with us, please don't. Okay, let me.
I'm thinking, who is this in the waiting room?
Just now, Dunya, join us.
Is it Zakaria? And I know you wouldn't do that.
Okay, man. What's up?
Salam. I'm someone that came to watch. Got in on Mullah Salim's status. Do I not belong?
How do I unstate my status? It will only disappear after 24 hours.
No, Sheikh, you need to delete it now, status. Please. Okay. Otherwise, we're going to have to end the stream and start a new one.
Deleted. Whoever came on here, can Allah just leave, bro. Malayirshad is kicking out. I'll send the other. What's the name now?
Inshallah. I sent the link now.
Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. Perfect دعاء. اللهم آمين. 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 Now you must translate that piece, Salim. You look so short on camera tonight. Why you look so short? Because your head is off. Oh, this person is coming back again.
No, it's just mine. Anyway.
Bismillah.
ربنا لا تؤاخذنا. Oh Allah, don't blame us. Don't take us to task. Don't take us to account. إن نسينا, if we forget. أو أخطأنا, or we make a mistake. يعني if we sin. نسينا, the first thing that comes to the mind about that word, نسينا, we forget. نسيا, the same root of the word إنسان or ناس, the mankind. Same letters. So al-insan mushtaqun min al-nisyan, as some of our scholars would say, that mankind is derived from forgetfulness. It's one of the easiest kata that we all use. Nah, I forgot. But at many a time we do actually forget. We forget what? We forget who we are and we forget who Allah is. And because of that, we transgress the bounds and the boundaries and the limits that Allah Ta'ala had placed there for our safety, for our success. And many a time that forgetfulness leads to mistakes. So, أخطأنا, when we do a mistake, when we do something that we shouldn't have done. Oh Allah, do not blame us for doing things that we shouldn't do out of our forgetfulness or our nature of making mistakes. I'm just connecting this now to our first night of discussing or just pondering the idea of this, you know, the circle that we're constantly living in, drawing closer to Allah, seeking His forgiveness, trying to take energy therefrom, trying to take energy from this month of Ramadan, and then Ramadan goes, and then, you know, we try to keep up that iman that we had built up in Ramadan, but we forget. Shaitan causes us to forget, our nafs causes us to forget, and because of that, we are constantly trying to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again, with the mindset of what had even come before these verses. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not place a burden on any person except its ability. In other words, Allah gives us such instructions that we definitely are able to bring forth, that we definitely are able to do and to follow. So we should have that sort of mindset, man, that every single thing that Allah instructed me with, it is definitely possible that I am able to do that, were it not for my forgetfulness and were it not for my mistakes. So I constantly turn to Allah to ask Him to give me the ability that I need to do what He wants for me to do. And at the same time, I ask Him to overlook my mistakes and my faults wherever I had fallen short. And Allah knows best.
I see Manna. You have the stage. Camera on me. Now I'm just thinking there's always a concept that I look at when we're looking at the, or discuss when we're translating the start of Surah Al-Baqarah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Manna Irshad, you were talking the other day about like how perfect Surah Fatiha is as an introduction, right? But I mean, that goes without saying, like across every verse in its placement, it's perfectly placed. But I mean, obviously we stress it sometimes just to say, look at this as an introduction, or look at this as a conclusion, or look at this as the middle, or look at this as the start. But I was telling someone the other day, I said that Allah chose for the revelation to reach the Sahaba in the manner in which it was revealed, right? So they receive the verses in those order, in that order. In our day and age, if we look at order, you're going to open the book and you're going to start from the one side and you're going to have somewhat of a, you know, this is the order in which we read the book now. So now you're listening in this order, and this is the first
like beginning, middle, and end type of buzz.
Yeah, man. And now you're reading this as, okay, yeah, I just got this introduction, which we discussed the other night. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts now with Surah Al-Baqarah. And in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, because now you're about to read this book, you're about to go on this journey of Quran. And these things that are about to come, these things you're about to hear, these things you're about to read about, these things you're about to learn. And the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here is, after Alif Lam Mim, which is the Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, and it's exact precise meaning. None knows its true interpretation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are difference of views and stuff that some scholars have maybe commented as possibilities, but the exact meaning of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows alone. And then the first thing we...
Master, you're sounding like a scholar there, no? That is a very scholarly approach.
I'm learning from you. So... the very next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, so basically the first thing we get to hear is ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. And look here, no matter what preconceived notions you might have, no matter what, you know, thoughts or mindset you might have going into this journey that you're about to go, just know that this is a journey that there's absolutely no doubt in. Like, and then you just think of it, what's about to come in the Quran. You're about to hear how Allah split the sea for Nabi Musa. You're about to hear about how the Ma'idah came down from the heavens. You're about to hear how Nabi Nuh was saved fi mawjin kal jibal, amongst waves that are like mountains. And you're about to hear all of these things, and then you're about to hear about Jannah, and you're about to hear about what the rewards are in Jannah, you're about to hear about the extent of the possible reward that you could get, and then on top of it, Allah say you still can't even fathom it. And then you're about to hear about Qiyamah, and you're about to find out about, and all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts out by telling you, look here, la rayba fi, there's absolutely no doubt in it. So
I want to latch onto that, Sidi Ahmed, sure. before you continue from there. The words la rayba fi, right? So normally, just as another philological analysis here, right? Normally the la just means no, right? So it would be la raybun fihi, but this is la rayba fihi. So this la impacts the i'rab, the encasing of the word, because it's a special type of la. It's la nafiya lil jins. It's a la that doesn't just negate the one specimen, it's a la that negates the species. So there's not just one doubt, there's not the absence of one doubt, there's the absence of doubt as a whole from this book. And what's so profound about that is this statement is being made at the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
Like if you go to any level of studies in academia or any other field for that matter, no one will be so daring to write at the beginning of the book. You will find no mistakes in this. You will find no discrepancies in this. You will find no contradictions in this. Now go for it. And now you can like start the rest of your journey. In fact, the opposite is true. You open up sophisticated literature, right, of the highest degrees of education, and the first type of the first couple of sentences, they're going to contain a statement that should you find any mistakes in this publication, please contact the editors, right? Bearing in mind that the book that has that written in had gone through a procedure, a process of publication. That's a very strenuous process. Academic publications have to go through peer review, learning, it has to go through typesetting, it has to go through editing, not just one stage, several stages of editing. Then it must go to the printers, then it must go to the distributors, and then, you know, and after all of that, still, there's not a single book on the face of this planet that's been written by a human being, except that it has a mistake in it, at least.
Thank you.
Here's the Quran. 1400 years ago, it was revealed to this world. On that night in the month of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, khayru min alfi shahr. From the sama, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, who brought it to the sama'i dunya. Oh, Allah revealed it to the sama'i dunya. From there, over how long? 23 years. If you write a book, I can speak from experience. I have never written a book in my life. Well, I can't remember, but I've written some stuff, and I recently submitted my master's, and that's like a book, right? I wrote it over a long period of time. I think it was about 4 years. Alhamdulillah, I finally ended it, and I'm waiting for the results. But I can tell you that
that's what the M stand for, the master. No, we were trying to figure that out early on, by the way.
M stands for Mukhu. M stands for Mukhu. But my point being, like, every single time that I had to write it, over a period of 4 years, what's 4 compared to 23? You know what I mean? Every single time I read it, I realized, oh, I missed this, I missed that, there's a contradiction here. Because it's an academic work, it's a serious work, you need to be scholarly sound. Nobody would dare say, there's no doubt in my book, after they go through, absolutely, no matter what processes. Yeah, Allah tells you, before you go through the read of this book, just know, this is no joke. And you will find not a single mistake there. And I always, it always hits your it takes your breath away. Because every single time you go through the recitation of the Quran, then that verse stands out again. As a student of Deen, that stands out for me because it's again Allah challenging me. So you've been through it again now, no? Did you find any mistakes this time around? Did you find any problems this time around? You know, did you look? You know, it's almost like in Surah Al-Mulk, which we're also going to do later on, where Allah says, ثم رجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. You know, look again, look again, look again. Your eyes will come back to you. Jaisal mukhvis van kijk.
Nah, true. Even a few verses later in Surah Baqarah, Even just a few verses later, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ. It's like, okay, and if for somehow you find that you're doubting this, what we've revealed, you find yourself in doubt, we say there's no doubt in this book at all. But if somehow you're doubting what we've revealed, إِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا, upon that which we have revealed upon our slave, if you're in doubt of that which we have revealed upon our slave, then just bring one chapter like it. Leave alone a book. Bring one chapter like it. And that challenge stands unmet for over 1400 years with all the people that tried to attack Islam, all the people that tried to destroy Islam. All they had to do was bring one chapter like it and say, oh yeah, your Quran say bring a chapter, here's a chapter, bah, finish. But they can't.
And the next ayah actually seals that, Ya Ahmad, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you can't do it, and you definitely won't do it, says Allah, and then you know what follows. But a clear challenge.
I want to go to the next segment, right? So Allah Ta'ala said, لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So
wait, Maaf, no, before you go.
Yes?
Before you go. Sorry, the Alif Lam Mim, حروف المقطعات. None knows their true meaning except Allah. Many scholar try to give some interpretation of it, of what it means, and so forth and so on. How can we also understand it? Think of a society of Arabic-speaking people, no? That, like, they Shakespeare for Bay with the Arabic men. Nobody can tell them anything about anything in Arabic. You know, the usage of the words, the way that the words are, the way that the words gel with one another, the way that the words are structured, and the way that sentences are expressed and so forth and so on. And here Muhammad sallam, he shouts out three letters of the Arabic language that, like, doesn't make sense to anyone. Alif Lam Mim, Taha, Qaf, Noon, Ha Mim. It's letters of the language that they would understand. So at the outset, it immediately sounds like, yo, this guy is doing something absolutely strange that none of us can understand. But if you think about it, it was probably just a way that Allah wanted to grab the attention, man. Because they knew Alif and Lam and Mim and Ha and Mim and all of these letters. They knew all the letters and the usage of it. But they never ever heard somebody shout out ABC. So if you hear somebody shout out ABC, then you're going to look at him. And plus, it's a person that you know of good stature that hasn't had any mental disease or illness and so forth and so on. And immediately thereafter, and by the way, this is what happens at most of these huruful muqatta'at, immediately thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes reference to the Quran. So here in the surah, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that book, there's no doubt in it. قَاف وَالْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدِ, قَاف by and by the noble, the great Quran. Hamim wal kitab al mubin, hamim by the book, the clear book. Alif lam ra, kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakimin khabir. Every time there's Allah mentions,
there's only two surahs that doesn't.
Yes, the one is Surah Maryam, kaha ya ain sad, and then the mentioning of Maryam, dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu sariya.
Sheikh Salim, it's not Surah Maryam. It's Surah Rum and Surah Ankabut.
Rum and Ankabut. Surah Rum, Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibat Ar-Rum. Surah Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, Ahasib An-Nas Wa Ay Yutraku Wa Yaqulu Amanna Wa Hum La Yuftanun. No reference over there. Well, Surah Maryam,
Dhikru Rahmat.
Okay, that is Quran, yes. And then Surah Qalam, I was thinking as well. والقلم وما استرون
القلم يكتبون الكتاب يعني
نعم so that refers to the Quran. Afwan. But yes, at all those other places, these direct references after these letters, the Quran.
It's a nice one.
No,
I'm
learning.
Sheikh Salim, in addition, that what you're saying is also, if you must think about it, It's like a massive big clap in the face of the person who thinks that he's master of the language. Kind of clap? A massive big clap, like a Will Smith clap, type of thing.
You're getting that awesome clap now into another episode.
It's funny. I think it's hilarious. Okay, anyway. And obviously, you know, the purpose of this program is for youth. So, you know, you spoke about something they know. Look, yeah, I want you to think about it in that way, man. Like, yeah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes not being lettered, not being schooled. And he brings pieces of literature for them. It's pieces of literature that, no, they can understand it. It's very well there, but they can't, they're perplexed at how does he know this stuff? He's not a sha'ir. And he doesn't know poetry. He's unschooled. He's unlettered. And then it comes like A, B, C, D, you know, like it brings you the letters like that, like you're a child, right? And then it tells you, okay, now with that very same letters, check what we can do. You know what it's like? It's like a bra who makes a phone in his backyard, no? And it's better than an Apple phone. And then he takes it to Apple and he shows it to them and he throws the parts on the table, the letters, he throws the parts on the table and then he throws his device on the table and he tells them, yeah, see what I can do. And then Sheikh Salim, you wanna say something else about that?
You know what's amazing is that after that, especially in Surah Al-Baqarah, so there's these letters, right? And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells you immediately, there's no doubt in this book. And oh, on top of it, it's also a guide. So there's absolutely no doubt in it. And the same book that you're about to read, it's not just a book, it's actually a guide, man. It is a guide. And now it's telling us automatically, man, that this is our guide, this is our way forward, man. This is what we're supposed to be following. And this is that amazing book that I have no doubt in it. And you know what? Like often if you just think about it, now, if someone is taking you somewhere, and you have a bit of doubt, where is this all going? I don't know if he's lost, if he's not lost. And he's taking you here, there, and whatever it may be. So you want to have that sense of confidence, man, that, okay, if I'm going somewhere, my destination, inshallah ta'ala, I'm looking for success. I'm looking for, you know, success in this world and the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you outright in the Quran, man, that, look, yeah, this is that guide. Man. You know, you just mentioned youth now. And whatever youth is listening and watching and, you know, even our parents are there, everybody, man, all of us. Like, if you just read a few words of the Quran, and it's already telling you the most important thing about this Quran, it's a guide. It's not just there for us to read. It's not just there for us to listen to. It's a guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, does the verse go? مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you didn't know what this book was. You didn't know what Iman was. Walakin Allah says what? Ja'alnahu, we made this Quran. What did we make it? Nuran, we made it a light. Nahdi bihi. And the purpose of that is we guide by it, with it. So if you're looking for that guidance.
Who does Allah guide? And this is so amazing part of the verse. You need to be qualified for the guidance because you get atheists, you get non-Muslims, you get antagonists, you get everyone can open up the Mus'haf and read the Quran. Some people, they see hatred in it. They see ugliness in it. They see evil in it because they choose to see that. And they come into the Quran with a krachang vessel. If you come to the Quran with a clean vessel, what you're going to get is purity. But if you come to the Quran with a krachang vessel, then you're going to walk away krachang still, maybe even more. You have to come to the Quran, as Allah says, Udallil Muttaqeen. It is guidance for the Allah conscious. Of course, you know, we're in the month of Ramadan, so you have the best possible opportunity. May Allah make us all of the Muttaqeen who achieve their taqwa because of Ramadan and what we do in Ramadan. But do you think that you can just come to Allah, Allah's book, right? And how do I put this? And just be ready to accept everything that's in the book and just be ready and open and all the lessons are just going to be impactful. It doesn't happen like that because if anybody was to be, you know, faced with the entire Quran all at once, all of its injunctions, all of its laws, all of its stories and beliefs and everything, sure, that's a tall order. But if you actually approach the Quran with taqwa, shay'an fa shay'an, you know, little bit at a time, the way that it was revealed, you make the Quran your friend, you come to the Quran with a sincere wish to be of the muttaqin, you come to the Quran with a sincere wish for guidance, then fihi hudal lil muttaqin, right? That's a different way you can read it also, because of the stops. Fihi hudal lil muttaqin, in it is guidance for the muttaqin, for the muttaqin. And Allahumma ja'alna minhum, may Allah make us of those. Amen. And interestingly, it's also that if you read it, it will make you of the muttaqeen.
I was just going to say now, when Irshad,
it will make you of the muttaqeen.
If you think about it, like, what would it require for me to actually be guided by the Quran if I'm not a good Muslim, not a practicing Muslim, I don't feel like my iman is on the level, yeah, whatever it may be, right? Then I think of the example.
Just rephrase question hard now.
You know, I think of the example of Umar radiallahu anhu, man. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't have iman when he came to listen to the Quran for the first time. In fact, I'm going to get to that now. He was on his way to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, you know, I'm going to go put the end to this now. Why? Because he was on, what do I believe is the truth? So what he had in him was a true yearning for the truth, even if it wasn't exactly what he thought it was. He was looking for the truth, not for his truth. He was looking for the truth.
Yeah, he genuinely wanted to know what is this thing here that you are reading? Just let me read it.
Yeah, so when you have that yearning in your heart to want to know the way, man. So Umar radiallahu anhu was like, look here, man, we know what's the right way. And here you have this Muhammad sallam, that is now starting this strange way. I'm going to go put a stop to it myself. So in his heart, his desire was, look here, the truth must prevail. And then he himself is going and he says, okay, right, let me listen. But he's listening as, let me hear what this is. So if you have, and I would say that the requirement, you're looking at what is the requirement. The requirement isn't necessarily to have that taqwa, because what if a kafir reads the Quran? The requirement is to have that yearning to say, or have that openness to want to hear.
Have a desire to be of the muttaqin.
Subhanallah. And then,
if you have a desire to be of the muttaqin, then you meet what Allah is saying.
And then what happened? He heard the Quran, and his mission from going to destroy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to kill him, changed to going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except Islam. Sahaba script, they said, Umar ibn al-Khattab is here. The Prophet said, that's right, let him in. And he came inside and he was there to accept. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that impact is on our hearts as well. And that,
Ameen. You must, whosoever wants guidance, Allah will guide him. There's two conditions, actually. If you really think about it, the first one is that what Ahmed just mentioned now, the sincere desire to be of the muttaqin, and the sincere desire to want to come close to Allah, the sincere desire to have Allah in your life. Call it what you want, but there must be a yearning inside of yourself. That hole that you know is there, that you've been trying to fill with a world of nonsense that's never becoming filled. That hole there, that's the desire that you must come to the Quran with. That search, that constant search for something, and you need fulfillment, and you need to go with that to Allah. But then you need something else as well. You need to take the first step. You need to take the first step. And this applies to all of us, no matter what level of deen you're on. We often think that, like with inspiration, you know, we want inspiration to come and then we'll start doing. I want to be inspired, and once I get the right inspiration, then I'm going to start doing. Once I feel the raghba to exercise, I'm going to start exercising. Once I feel the raghba to make a change in my life, once I'm motivated, that is a klum khamos. That's just rubbish. It doesn't work that way. You must make the first move. Man jahada fina. The one who strives to Allah. Lanahdiyannahum subulana. We will guide them. Just make the first move. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever takes one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards them. You come walking to Allah, Allah comes running to you. But the first step is yours. come with a sincere desire, and then make the effort. And the effort can sometimes be something as simple as opening up your mushaf and sitting and bacha'ing with some tafakkur and tadabur. That can be the effort. So when you come to the Quran, you asked Allah at the beginning, look at this, subhanAllah, again, Fatiha and the perfection of it. What did you ask Allah for in Surah Fatiha? It's a whole dua, but you actually only asked for one thing. What did you ask for? Guidance. Guide us. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then Allah answers your dua just on the next page. Right? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Here's the guidance. It's right in here. It's in this book. And then Allah carries on to give us that guidance. So come with a sincere desire. Make the first move. Allah will take care of the rest, right? And that's really how the cookie crumbles as far as the conditions is concerned for coming to the Quran. Sheikh Salim, the next couple of verses, just take us through that quickly. These three groups that Allah mentions in succession. Mm-hmm. Just categorize them for us.
Firstly, the two clear groups. The two clear groups. Which Allah require much less explanation about, just off the top of my head, it's like stuff that is halal and stuff that is haram. And like we as Muslims now already, you know, okay, this is halal, I can do this, that's haram, I mustn't do that. That's kind of an easy decision to make, man. You know, if you do this, you're going to get rewarded. If you do that, you're going to get punished. So choose. But then there's a third type of a decision that we sometimes have to make. It's like the better good or the lesser evil, if you can say it that way. You know, the better good is, of course, now achieving more good than what you could have. And the lesser evil is, you know, delving only as much as you absolutely need to of evil. That's a whole other big discussion. But that is sort of the next three groupings of people that Allah Ta'ala speaks about. Firstly, the muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Three verses Allah speaks about the believers. And then about the disbelievers, Allah speaks two verses about them. And then thereafter, there's a whole long section, perhaps 12, 15 verses maybe, that from وَمِنَ النَّاسِ up until إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that Allah speaks about the munafiqun, the hypocrites. So those people that show iman on the outside, but they harbor disbelief and hatred towards the Muslims on the inside. And subhanAllah, we only want to be amongst that first group of people. May Allah Ta'ala make us all of them. Who are they? يؤمنون بالغيب. They live in the unseen. All the things that they cannot see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam, the angels, whatever it is that we can't see, Jannah, Jahannam. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish the tenet of salah in their lives. The idea of establishment is not just performance. Performance can mean every night after work, then I come to Ravi, my whole day salah is that I didn't make, that's making salah. But establishing salah is making it like a known thing at its point, at its proper time. كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, it is something that happens within a stipulated time, as Allah had instructed. That is the idea of the establishment. And they give, they spend off whatever they had been blessed with. For some it might be material wealth, for others it might be a skill, for others it might be an ability that they can share with others. Whatever we had granted them, they spend off that. This is just us trying to make a little bit of khidma here, of, you know, spending of what Allah granted us. I know the bayaparat bisakita, so we, instead of just using bayaparat for bayaparat, we're trying to use a bit of bayaparat now for some khair, inshallah, that maybe others can benefit from.
You have like a special way of saying stuff that nobody else can do except you.
and then specific reference to the muttaqeen about the Quran once again. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. They believe in whatever has been revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is this Quran. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And not only do the muttaqeen believe in the Quran, the muttaqeen believe in whatever has been revealed before. So the Torah, as people that believe in Allah, we believe in the Torah. As people that believe in Allah, we believe in the Injil. We believe in the Zabur. We believe in any other scripture that Allah might have sent to the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam that we know not of. We believe in all of these scriptures. So,
just to, I have to interject there. You know, sometimes the kids, the younger, the youth in the programs, they scrap when I tell them, I believe in the Bible. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, if we're referring to the Bible as the revelation.
That incident Isa sounds so familiar, Sayyid Ahmad.
What I you just described there. I stole it out of your book. I stole it out of your book. So, you know, when I tell the youth this, then they're like, what? Then I was like, yeah. And, you know, all of the prophets, and I believe in Jesus. If we're referring to Nabi Isa, then he was a prophet, and he had the Bible, which was the Injil. And in that we believe it was distorted also. We believe there's a whole lot of different versions now and all of this, and you know, it was adjusted to whims and fancies, but I believe in it. And
I must mention this incident, man. Sheikh Ahmad was much younger, right? I think he was just starting out, or he didn't start out his Arabic studies yet. So Mu'allima Rushan Misbah had an event for youth at her place. So I was trying to demonstrate, if I recall correctly, I was trying to demonstrate that we should, you know, as students should abstain from entering into technical discussions and trying to, you know, get more advanced than where they are at. Man, they're by fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. They must stick to fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, right? They don't know high-tech fiqh and stuff like that. So I challenged them to a hypothetical situation to show them that, you know, you can play scholarly gymnastics all you want, but somebody else is going to defeat you, man. The haq is the haq. You can't come with scholarly gymnastics, and you know, because somebody else is going to be sort of one up over you. So I asked them, what's their opinion? Is dating permissible or is it not permissible, right? So I used the klum akli, right? Akli argument, and I said, no, it's permissible. And that shocked them, because look here, at this stage, they were still full of wuma, young students, and they heard that dating is haram for them. That was like one of the major sacrifices at the time, that they're not dating and other people their age are dating.
And so, here's a Maulana telling us it is.
Here's a
Maulana
saying, no, I think it is permissible. But my point, obviously, I explained afterwards that it is in fact haram. But I came with a clue, actually, arguments about how the maslaha, it's better like that, and da 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 da. And they got to the point where I don't know who it was. I'm not going to mention any names. But someone said, like, now Maulana, is it really permissible? So it's not a very friendly game, but it's not a game. It is a lesson, man. It is a lesson. Mm. It is a way of teaching. And it is just
now funny. We learned a lot. We learned a lot. Alhamdulillah. That was one of the few incidents. What, I think I was like 15 that time. I think I was like 15 that time.
Now it just actually shows like why we need the Quran also, man. Because the ugly stuff, the rational stuff, no, man's brain is so fascinating, subhanallah. You can make connections between stuff, no, that anything can make sense, man, and anything can be permissible and anything can be not permissible. But that's exactly why Allah gives us this guidebook to say, look here, you must use your brain, you must use your aql. I don't expect you to take this entire revelation right now exactly as it is. Take one portion, apply your mind to it. Exactly like Sayyidina Umar, when that first verse came to him, what was the first thing? After his sister first now told him, you can't touch this, you must go take up dust. And he went to go take up dust and he came back. The first thing that he did was what? Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. We didn't send this Quran to you that you must, you know, that you must become despondent or that it must cause you any sort of difficulty. Illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. So now he's applying his mind, man, as to, okay, you're reading this here and it's hiding away, but why and how? But now, if it is this book that mustn't cause any difficulty, why are you hiding yourself so away? And Umar then accepted his Islam. And what was one of the first things that he said to the Prophet ﷺ? Ya Rasulullah, aren't we on the haq? You know, this Quran came to us. It's not something that we must be bang for. We're going to go make tawaf now. Stick 8 brews. And they all went with Sayyidina Umar. And they went to go make their tawaf, man. And now, you know, having that boldness. But after reading Quran and then applying the mind to it, that is like the conclusion that they then came to, man. So it's the mind must do the thinking, but within the framework of what the Quran puts and gives there to us, man. And that will allow that you can use the mind to the best ability.
SubhanAllah. You know, actually that I remember now, when I said I was actually in first year that year. So I was 16. I was 16, yeah. So I was in first year. And then I remember I was still throwing at you the ayahs. I was like, no, but the Quran says this, the Quran says this. And then you were like just spinning it this way and that way. And like Mullah Salim was saying, your mind can make like any type of connections between this and the other. And I thought of that now in that question. You put that question on the board now or on the screen to say that, you know, how do you then interpret it, man? So you basically showed us that day that you can take any ayah of the Quran and use it out of context to whichever way, shape, or form you want to, if it's going to end up, you know, just serving your whims and fancies, man. But there's actually a proper way to go about it, man. And just like the you know, one of our listeners now, obviously, or viewers asked, and yes, that is in fact the time where you go and seek knowledge, say, okay, this is the verse, this is the way I'm understanding it. Is this understanding correct or is it not correct? And inshallah, also what I found then was it sparks within you that yearning to learn more, man. Wallahi, thumma wallahi, the more you learn about the Quran, the more you learn you don't know about the Quran. The more you learn about the Quran, the more you will learn you don't know about the Quran. And every time you read an ayah or you read a verse and you get an understanding of it, and then you find another scholar's opinion on it, maybe read a different tafsir on it, you need another whole, you know,
side of it. I feel more dumb about the Quran this year than I ever did in my whole life. How's that?
Yeah, so
how... like I'm serious. I'm duck serious. If I think of an ayah, I think, yo, that's like a lot of work that I need to do to get to a proper understanding of this ayah. Because now I've got so much more access to so many more books, and I understand so many more different angles, and I understand so many that this context and these different approaches to take into consideration, and these different opinions, and these different madhaib. That time of thinking that you Mr. somebody and you know Mr. something is long gone. You're dumb.
And I think it's important also for the viewers to note, like, you know, there's different reasons. For example, when you're looking for a fiqh ruling or something, the fuqaha will extract that based on a different set of rulings or whatever it may be. If you're looking for a message per se, inspiration, advices, stuff like that from the Quran, there's maybe a different approach that will be applied. So it's not necessarily for everything that you're drawing from the Quran, that is like a set process, man. There's processes for each and every one of it. But that doesn't stop the starting point, man. The starting point is go and read. And don't go read to try and find the fiqh laws and to try and find the... Leave that, man. That we leave to the fuqaha and your master. Just go read to learn and to... Not even just to learn, man. Just go read.
You know what you must be yearning,
like, go read. You know, you're using the wrong word there, Habibi. Just go bacha.
Go bacha and make tafakkur. Go bacha and make tafakkur. But my understanding of it is like, go like a child who's now walking into a massive big toy shop. Like, that's just that feeling. Yeah. That's all that you must have, man. Go with a sense
of... If you're going in that toy shop, going in the toy shop as if someone told you can take whatever you want and go...
You're like KTV, Reggie's Rush. You remember
that?
Yeah, that's old. Well, that once, my bro, man.
That was when I was young, into I such was a big shop. If there's anybody watching who can remember KTV, Reggie's Rush, let me know. Just leave me know in the comments. Because I remember watching that and thinking, like, yo, these guys are all stupid. I will go straight to the electronics section and just put the whole lot of PlayStations in there and then walk out. Like, why even bother going down the other aisles?
So, you know, approach with that mindset, and the read with that mindset, and, you know, the Quran is there for all of these things, for the laws, for the guidance, for the nur, you know, and even for comfort. Like, if you have a problem genuinely, if you have a void in your heart, if you just go read the Quran, really, it's going to give you what you need when you need it.
SubhanAllah. Like the other night when I sent you guys that voice note.
Yeah, SubhanAllah. Yeah,
Sheikh Salim, can we maybe go to the verses later in Surah Baqarah that we normally recite, you know, often? Like, okay, Ayatul Kursi, I suppose, is the next one in line, right?
Greatest ayah of the Quran mentioned in narration is this particular ayah, Ayatul Kursi. Kursi, many of us perhaps understand it to be the throne of Allah, but rather Kursi refers to the footstool. The footstool, for what you and I can understand, is something that would of course be at the bottom of a throne or a chair that someone would sit. Again, how this applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know not how, but we believe in it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in this Quran. So we believe, and exactly what that interpretation is and how it applies to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. 10 beautiful descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one of them requiring a book on its own. Allahu la ilaha illahu, no God but Him. Al Hayyul Qayyum, the ever living, the self sustaining. Allah, most of us know this name to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest name. There is actually another opinion regarding this. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, says Al Hayyul Qayyum is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest name. Be that as it may, Allah ta'ala mentions these two connected over here. Al-Hayy, of course, being the ever-living one, the one that there was no time in which he did not exist. And the Qayyum, Al-Qayyum, the one who exists within himself and he requires nothing else to sustain his existence. Unlike every other thing, requires some sort of means so that it might exist. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Third description. No sleep nor slumber overtakes him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly ever aware of every single creation that He had created. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs whatever exists in the heavens and in the earth. That's basically anything that you could ever, ever think of or imagine. It all belongs to Allah. And it all came from Him and it will all return back to Him. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Fifth description. Who can intercede by him except those things, those entities which he had permitted to do so. We will say, yeah, the man, the human description is kum stan yo man, and that is essentially each of us through this entire life, but even on the day of Qiyamah as well. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every person will be busy with his own matter that he will need to stand for himself in front of Allah. But Allah does allow that certain things will be able to intercede by him. For us, thing number one, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of all the anbiya, they will all be saying nafsi, nafsi. But our Nabi will be saying what? Ummati, 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 my nation, my nation, my nation. So then how do I receive his intercession? I must make myself known to him, right? That's must your connection. If your connection must know who you are, then you must connect it to your connection. But if you just have his number on your phone and you don't ever phone him and keep connected to him, the day that you need something from him, the man don't know who you are, then yeah, there's no connection. But that is what salawat does. Our salawat is presented to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and along with that, the name of the person that sends such salawat. So that is connecting ourselves to him that will be able to intercede. Fasting will intercede. Quran will intercede. Hadith mentions that they will both be personified and they will appear in front of Allah and they will say, oh Allah, I prevented this one from enjoyment in the day. Allow that I can enter him into Jannah. Quran will say, oh Allah, I prevented that one from sleeping at night. Allow that I can enter him into Jannah. Yeah, the intercession is something that, of course, we will all be in need of on the day of Qiyamah. Let us try as best as we can to take advantage of those three things. Salawat on Rasulullah, recitation of Quran, and fasting. And they will definitely intercede on our behalf. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Next part, next description. This is now number 7. He knows what had happened before and what will come after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is absolutely all-encompassing of every single event that had ever transpired from the beginning of creation and right up until the end of when everything will come to being nothing once again and Qiyamah would stand. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And none knows anything of his knowledge except that which he had permitted. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. Every single thing that we can learn. Yes, we have what we might call knowledge of deen, That is, of course, as we believe, the greatest type of knowledge that one can learn, the knowledge that will directly connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge that we learn about Allah's qualities, we learn about the qualities of His messengers, the qualities of His words, the Quran, and so forth and so on. But every other point of knowledge, mathematics, physics, engineering, biology, botany, warawarani, whatever ology that you can think of, all the ologies, don't laugh me, bro, man. You know what I mean? All the ologies, it is all the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even of all of those things, we only know and encompass that which Allah allows for us to know. Next to a description, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His dominion, as we can understand, extends through the heavens and through the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control, Allah ta'ala's decision-making ability extends into every part of creation. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. For him to look after those two things, for him to preserve and protect them, does not tire him out at all. For Allah to create one thing and to sustain that thing is the same as for him to create a million things and sustain all of those million things and give it all its rizq. It's not one more difficult for Allah than the other one. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسِ وَاحِدَةً. For Allah to create all of you and to resurrect all of you is the same like doing just one thing.
Any other species or creature or aliens or other planets and galaxies and whatever the gene world, everything in the gene world, in the past, in the present, in the future.
So here's a move. So with this one, dream big, man. Dream big, man. Because the same Allah that you are asking for, just for an extra bonus that you can just maybe fit whatever small part onto your car, or that you can just, you know, upgrade the kitchen for your wife, is the same Allah.
Like a solid slava to your local Molina.
My bro, the same Allah will take you to Makkah without you paying a cent. The same Allah will take your whole family to Makkah without you paying a cent. The same Allah will buy you, will organize you the money for a realistic mansion. You know what I mean? The same Allah.
And it will be nothing for him.
And it will be absolutely nothing for him, subhanAllah. So,
Amruhu bayna al-kafi wa al-noon.
وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
He doesn't even need to say kun to it. He's أَمْرُهُ بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَالنُّونَ. He just walls it into existence.
And the last description there, he is the one that is the most high, the absolute greatest. He is higher than anything that you could ever imagine, and he is greater than anything that you could ever conceive. Conceive of, yes. Sheikh Nu'man Ali Khan speaks about this ayah as well. There's a clip on YouTube. You might find it if you search for it.
He
does this forward, backward thing. Yeah. Mm. It's beautiful, mashallah. Like the first part connects to the last part, and second, last, and third, and third, last, and so on.
Just Google Nu'man Ali Khan Ayatul Kursi explanation, something of that sort. I'm sure it'll come up. SubhanAllah. You know, the one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the person who recites Ayatul Kursi after every waqt, after every fard salah, nothing stands between him and Jannah except death.
Nah, Allahu Akbar. The next ayah now also, or the next, just the first part, amen. After this now, explaining who Allah is, nah? So if you understand all of this, then there's no way that you can like believe that anything came to existence without a creator, and that creator is Allah. And then we spoke a little bit earlier about the aql and your intellect and how you can, you know, you apply your mind to this. You apply your mind to this verse and you see, look around you and you think, okay, is everything else real like this verse is speaking about it? But then Allah says in the very next verse, La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion to religion. Not in religion, to religion. In other words, Allah does not force you to become Muslim, and Allah does not force you to be Christian, and Allah doesn't force you to be anything. You can be and choose anything, any way of belief, any system of belief that you desire. And that is what Allah gives us, man, that ability to choose. So here's the ultimate guide. There's the ability of your brain. And now choose. The red pill or the blue pill. That's all that we got, man. That's the choice. The red pill or the blue pill. You can choose to do it or you can choose not to do it. And because of that choice, that is sort of what will benefit us.
It's a very subtle thing. A lot of people misunderstand that verse and thinking that it just means, you know, you can't force people to make salah. You can't say that people must do this and they must. No. That's not what it means at all. I mean, then what's the point of deen if there's no fard salah, there's no fard this, no fard that, then there's no nothing. But as Qari Salih mentions, it's la ikraha fi deen. You can't compel another to have faith. Faith is something that must come from within. It's something that the person must choose for themselves. And if they're not going to choose it, no, Allah's not going to get harmed by that. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُدُّ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. What does he worry about your disbelief in him, subhanAllah? Yeah, that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that speaks about the virtues, not the one, the various ahadith that speak about the virtues of the recitation of Ayatul Kursi, whether it be in the morning or in the evening or after every fard salah, or the virtues of how it will protect you against shaitan and so on. When one reads those virtues, and you realize just how much Allah gives us for so little, man. Just how much, much Allah gives us for one verse. You just butcher that for me and I'll give you all that. Yeah. I'll give you nothing stands in between you and Jannah except death. I'll give you shaitan won't be able to harm you at all. You know, and the list goes on and on. The most powerful verse in the Quran.
The mouth. And the dogs also. The dogs also when you're walking from school, if you remember that, my bro, then you point your tahiyat finger and you butcher.
Yeah, then you
idle kursi. That dog don't come there by you, my bro. Don't chase
you. Bacha, everything you know. At-tahiyat, everything. If you don't know anything, you bacha alif ba-tahata.
Yeah, Rob.
Nah, it's amazing. And then it's verses like that that gives a person hope. You know, people often look at scholars or they look at those they consider pious and so on, and they see, like, because of the way we dress, or the way they dress, I should say, the way they dress and the way they conduct themselves and where they're speaking at and what they do, that they must be so pious and so untouchable, you know, like we can practice and practice and practice deen for forever and we won't be like them, so what's the point, right? I think it's a common phenomenon where we think that those who we see as being perfect are actually perfect. And I think it's very, very important that we understand, while you get really good people in the world, there's no such thing as a perfect person. The only perfect humans were the Anbiya, and the most perfect among them was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even he, alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah didn't rank him up to being an angel or to something beyond human. He remained within the realm of being human. So know that these little gifts that Allah give us is because we are human. And the scholars and the people that you look up to, they're also human and they also make mistakes. And it's a mistake to consider yourself so far-fetched from being anything like them. They look at one another, right? All the Maulanas and all the sheikhs and all the imams that you know, they look at each other and they think the same thing. The one looks at the other one and think, oh, that guy's pious, mashallah, I'm going to be like him. And then that one is looking at him and he's thinking, you know, if you're sincere, that's how you think. And then they think like, oh, I mean, I've just got the outward stuff here and maybe the beard and the kwaskufiya and so on. But I'm no way like him. I look at Sheikh Salim, then I think that. I think, subhanAllah, I wish I could recite as much Quran as he does. Yeah, I wish I could. Bless. No, not
Allah blessed me. Alhamdulillah. That's one thing I'm really proud about. Alhamdulillah.
I don't know where Sayyidi Ahmad went to. He didn't even say salam. He just went. He just went to go sleep.
I think we should Sayyidi, follow suit.
You proceed with concluding, inshallah ta'ala. We end off with the night.
Ya Rab. Ramadan is still early days, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah. We've been having a taste the last couple of days. If you're sitting now, like, just listen how calm it feels, different to normal calm. Normal days, this time of the night, it still just don't feel like calm like it feels now, man. Allahu Akbar. Barakah of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala bless. May Allah Ta'ala accept. May Allah grant that we can use our time constructively. Amin ya Rabbul Alameen. We can ponder on the verses of the Quran. Just that comment that was sent earlier on, and I just wanted to touch on this. What about Muslims who aren't as equipped in tafsir that goes to the Quran to find answers? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the Quran, and the miraculous thing about it is that every single person on whatever their brain, whatever brain waves their brain works on, will be able to understand something of the Quran. And then coupled to that, the Quran is the first explanation for the Quran. So if you are confused about anything that you find in the Quran, chances are that there's another verse not too far away that is linked to that verse that you are struggling to understand, and that will clarify it for you, man. So, you know, yeah, when we said earlier, don't try to think so deep into it. If there's a verse that you don't understand, just put a question mark over there, sort of bookmark it, and you go on reading. And you will, inshallah, find another verse that will clarify that first verse for you, and you will have a better understanding of it, man. So that's an important point to bear in mind. Don't think like every single verse that you now find it and you somehow don't understand, you're going to run to the Mawlana and run to the Sheikh, and, you know. Just have that verse in your mind and think about it for the day. Like, yeah, you're doing whatever you're doing, but you're pondering on that verse. Allah will give you, Allah himself will send you.
Your like understanding that you require, it, you know? The understanding that you require isn't tafsir, man. The understanding is just like, oh, what does this verse mean? I didn't quite get that. Tafsir is the other. Tafsir is a science on its own. It's about what Sahaba said, what the Prophet said, what the fiqh says. That's tafsir. That's not what you're looking for. You're just looking for a basic understanding of the verse. A translation would generally give you that. Go to a translation. Go to a reliable translation. I would advise on like the Sahih International. These two standard translations they use on Quran.com. Both of them are good for contemporary English speakers. The little bit of footnotes and commentary that you find in that level of translation is really good enough for basic explanation. If you want something deeper, more profound about the verse, then I would say consult a scholar. And that's about it. You know, if you want to check it up in a tafsir book yourself, you're more than welcome to do so. But always, you know, keep a scholar close by. Keep Sheikh Salim close by.
Astaghfirullah. Yeah, and don't stop trying to connect, man. Don't stop trying to connect.
What?
Don't give up to connect.
Okay.
Don't stop trying to connect. If you took two verses this year so far, alhamdulillah. If you're probably sitting and listening to this and thinking like, where you now with the Quran and where were you last year with the Quran, man? I think I've mentioned this again. I'm mentioning it again now. But it's a very important sort of yardstick to have. And yes, may Allah Ta'ala grant us to progress forward. Amen. Progress forward. I deliberately said that both ways. But yeah, that we progress forward and closer to Him. Two steps forward. One step back, is that's like the human, that's the human element of the sin and the forgetfulness. But let us try to make sure the forward steps are more than the back steps. And inshallah, if that is such, we will definitely reach Allah Ta'ala.
Ameen ya Rab.
Ameen ya Rab.
We all weak, man. Ya salam. We all weak. And it's a reality that the sooner you come to grips with, the sooner you can move forward. That's just it. The addict doesn't get rid of the addiction ever. The addict must first come to terms with the fact that he or she is the addict. And once they come to terms with that fact, then they deal with themselves as addicts. It's like, okay, if I do such a thing and such a thing, I'm going to die. Other people can do similar things. They're not going to die. They're fine. But I'm not like them and they're not like me. I've got something different about me and I have to deal with it. Come to terms with the fact that we're weak, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, and that we're sinners, and stay humble. Deal with it. You are weak. I am weak. I have my weaknesses. But as Sheikh Salim said, stay connected, stay trying, stay getting up, stay standing up, stay pulling yourself up. Don't give up. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. 42 kilometers. Keep on going. Don't stop. You're going to get there. If you stop, then it's over. if you keep going, no matter how slow, no matter how painful, no matter how hard, no matter how much you want to swear, if you keep on going, you will eventually get there. And if you stop, you'll never get there.
It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get it and keep moving forward. Somebody once upon a time said that. I don't know where it come from.
Is it Rocky?
No, wait. Don't be rude, man. It's العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب.
Sadie, we must go sleep. Everybody must go sleep as well. Please keep us in your du'as.
Amen, Ya Rab.
We'll probably be doing some more of this as we go along. We'll probably be on every second night, but I'm not going to make any promises because these guys are unpredictable.
That's good. That's good. You mustn't predictable because then you know what to expect.
I like your sound tonight, Tashuksani. Your mic is on point. MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. I only moved it once early on.
Allah bless
Adnan, you. Shukran for your beautiful dua. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ya awwal al-awwalin wa ya akhir al-akhirin wa ya dhal quwwati al-matin wa ya rahim al-masakin wa ya arham ar-rahimin. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكرك الغافلون. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful, you are the most kind, you are the most complete and the most perfect creator, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so thankful to you for having blessed us with this beautiful gift of Iman. Ya Allah, we testify that we believe in you and we believe in you alone. And we believe that you are the only one worthy of being worshipped. Ya Allah, we have so many sins, Ya Allah. We are your slaves. We have so many sins, Ya Allah. You had created us in this deficient way, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, for many a time we have depended on our own selves to reach you. But we realize that we have too many deficiencies to do so, Ya Allah. Instead, Ya Allah, we want to depend on you to allow us to reach you, Ya Allah. We want to depend on you to allow us to be able to draw closer to you, Ya Allah. We want to depend on you to remove whatever impurities there are in our hearts. We want to depend on you to remove whatever sins there are on our limbs. Ya Allah, guide us, Ya Allah, guide us, Ya Allah, guide us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we have learned from our teachers, Ya Allah, allow that our action benefits them. Ya Allah, whatever we had learned from our parents, allow that our action benefits them. Ya Allah, whatever we are able to teach our children, allow that their action benefits us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all our actions during this beautiful month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our parents and our teachers as they had mercy on us when we were small. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma taqabbal minna bi sirri suratil Fatiha. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Arrahmanirrahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
بارك الله فيك حبيب تكي all the best everyone
جزاكم الله خير
السلام عليكم
see you guys إن شاء الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته